We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, Episode 6. The purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming Black real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. Something that I've been thinking about and reflecting on this week is the fact that so many of us, myself included, tend to have a perfectionist mentality. We want everything to be just right before we make a move, and I had to get out of this mindset, especially when it came to this podcast. Many people will say they won't release a podcast until they can rent a studio, until they can pay an audio engineer, etc. And they just sit on that idea. They just sit on what's inside of them and don't share it with the world. Some people won't release content in general until they can pay someone to create their post and get them just right. I honestly had to let go of those thoughts when it came to this podcast, and just believe that things can improve over time, and they have. You know, I have zero media experience. I don't consider myself to be a creative, to be honest with you, but I felt compelled to create this podcast. And so in spite of my lack of experience, I just got the equipment and I did it. The episodes are getting better. The posts are getting better steadily over time, and I'm getting a lot of feedback that's helping me to refine things as I go. And I'm bootstrapping this thing. You know, there's no budget to pay people, and that's fine. And the most important thing is I'm just continuing to put out content, what's on my mind, what people are sharing on the podcast, and I'm just putting it out for people to consume. And it's not perfect. It'll never be. And I'm fine with that. But I know that I have a commitment to share stories and to inspire people. So I've definitely been thinking about that. And I just want to encourage anyone who has an idea. It doesn't have to be a podcast. It can be a business. It can be anything. If it's something you want to do and it's in your mind, it's in your heart, and you continue to think about it, get it out. Don't just let it be a thought for years and years and years. You know, you're wasting your time. So if there's something you want to do, just do it. Take steps towards doing it. Put it out there. Get out there. And just believe that it'll get better and you can continue to improve as time goes on. And something else I was thinking about in relation to the house in Dayton, things are going well. Tenant moved in a couple weeks ago. I got my first payment from the property manager last week. And, you know, it may not be the biggest deal to some people, but for me, it was a big deal because, you know, there's a lot of work I had to put in on the front end to close the deal and all of those things. But now, you know, it's pretty much me just managing the manager. And, you know, if they're doing their job, the tenant is paying, it should be pretty much smooth sailing from here. I mean, there'll be struggles, but I mean, I got paid for doing nothing. You know, I was just sitting at home or at work, and I received an alert that a payment was on the way. And I'm honestly addicted to that feeling, and I can't wait to just grow my portfolio, gain more deals, and have more of those notifications on a monthly basis. Shout out to our show sponsors, Mint Inc. Mint stands for the Minority Interdisciplinary Networking Team. Mint empowers young minority professionals with an interdisciplinary network for learning, collaboration, and the development of entrepreneurial ventures. They just released their latest issue, so definitely check that out. You can also become a member of their network for free at mintinc-usa.com. You can also follow them on IG at mint_inc. Lastly, I want to make a plug for a resource in our link tree that's actually by today's guest, Gabrielle Martin. It's called Hey New Landlord, and the guide is for anyone who wants to house hack, which means to live in one unit and rent the others out. Everything you need to know about being a first-time landlord is in this guide. She goes into detail about what she wishes she knew, what you need to know, And it's just really a great resource. So I highly encourage you to get that. You can follow Gabrielle at Invest and Chill, but we'll definitely get more into that resource and more into her story in this episode. So thank you all for tuning in. Let's get into this episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. I'm very excited about the guests we have on the show today. Today, we have Gabrielle Martin with us. We're going to learn a whole lot of great things about house hacking, various programs, long distance investing. And so I'm very excited, Gabrielle. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Great. So just start off, tell us more about who you are, what you do for work, where you're from.
Sure. Well, I'm born in Oakland, raised in a city an hour away called Stockton, California. I went to college at Howard University, studied communications at Johnny Johnson School of Communications, and I moved to LA to pursue a career in TV, which is currently what I'm doing full-time. And at 26, I started investing by taking advantage of the NACA program. It's a good first-time home buyer program, which, you know, there's no down payment and a bunch of other benefits we can get into later. But so I closed on that fourplex. I currently house hack it, living in the front unit while I have tenants in the other three units in the back, which is where I am now. And then a year later, I decided to purchase in Cleveland because it's definitely a lot. The prices are more reasonable over there. LA, as you probably know, the prices just increase exponentially every year. So Cleveland was the best market. So this is, and here we are now.
Absolutely. Tell us more about what your childhood was like and what you saw or what you didn't see that shaped your view of building wealth.
Well, I mean, growing up, I feel like real estate has always been kind of in the family, fortunately, but it wasn't something I ever took seriously. Up until like I was 26. But what I mean by saying it was in the family, my grandfather owned a few properties and he would always casually talk about, you know, issues or, you know, projects he was working on with them. And, you know, my mom and her two sisters, so they would talk about, you know, wills, like who's splitting up, how are they going to split the properties in the future once that time comes. But it's not something that be realistic living in LA until I heard of the NACA program, because it's a zero down payment program. And I was like, oh, I can actually afford to buy property at 26, which was very exciting for me. So I jumped on that opportunity.
Absolutely. And that kind of gets into one of our next questions. Can you talk more about the NACA program?
Yeah. So NACA, as I mentioned, it's a zero down payment program, which means you pay nothing up front. There's also no closing costs, which I didn't really realize until I started, you know, going to escrow, but closing costs is like a big cost that people don't really talk a lot about. And also you get the lowest rate with options for either you or the seller to help. And we were in the middle of escrow and there was some repair or fix that was just like came out of nowhere. And it was almost to a point where, oh, I might not be able to afford this property, but my awesome agent was able to talk the sellers into putting some of their, the revenue they'll receive into the, to buy down the rate or to buy down the points, which helped me afford the property. It's just like an awesome program that really worked. And I think the best part I think the best part about it is anyone can get into the program. Even if you don't initially qualify, they will work with you until you get qualified. So it's like, you don't be afraid, like, oh, I'm not ready. I haven't been in my job for 2 years. They will work with you. They'll stick with you throughout those years until you are to a point that you get qualified. So I think it's pretty awesome. And I think it's nationwide too.
That's awesome. Are there any like two or three basic qualifications for that program?
Oh, yeah. Well, you need at least 2 years of employment or show that a petty payment. You need, you cannot own a property already. So you could have bought a property and sold it, but you cannot currently own a property. What else was that? Yeah, that's actually it. Like, you need to obviously, like, normal mortgage qualifications. Like, you need to be able to provide tax returns and your W-2s and all that. As long as those are straight and your, and it shows your income is, you want the income is greater than your debt, the monthly debt, it's you should be able to qualify. Oh, another awesome thing about it is they take account the rents that you would get for your multifamily. So it was actually easier for me to qualify for a fourplex than it would be a single family home, because they take into account, like, oh, okay, these tenants will be paying, pretty much covering most of the mortgage, so they can qualify you based off that, which I think is very awesome. Oh, and you also have to live in, there's actually a lot of qualifications. You also have to live in the property. There are loopholes to that. I know some people who have closed on that and do not live in a property, and I'll just put it out there, like, I'm not a lawyer, but they just, there's no way they're checking on that, like, so take that for what it is. But I choose to live in my property because it's just, it's a great deal, and it's a solid neighborhood, it just works out, and it's close to my my job, so that helps.
That's awesome. What was the purchase price of the home at the time?
The purchase price was $630K. And then I was able to add to my purchase price for repairs. So I added on to that with the amount of that it would cost for repairs. So that ended up being about $639,000, which was really helpful. As long as you still qualify with that additional amount, they'll make it work. And then the rents at that time were bringing in, $3,700. So, which is pretty close to my mortgage payment. And I've been able to increase the rents and get it to where I'm actually making a profit each month. So, yeah.
That's amazing. So you're pretty much living for free. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
That's incredible.
Yeah, which is why I have not moved yet.
Yeah. I would stay put too. So now you're able to cash flow a bit after increasing the rents.
Yeah. I'm using some of that for other investments, but yeah, if I had just purchased or just kept this property, I would be cash flowing each month.
Definitely. That's awesome. That's really cool. House hacking for real.
Yeah. I mean, being a landlord, its own, like, complications or challenges, but it's nothing that you can't handle.
Definitely. Can you talk to us more about what it's been like being a landlord and the pros and cons of that and what the reality has been for you?
Yeah, well, I will say it's easier than, like, people think it is, but it's still, there's challenges. Like, if I had a property manager, I would probably have fired them by now, because it's not as complex as it seems. So, for example, like, one thing I would worry about are other people would probably fear for becoming a landlord is the maintenance requests. Like, something breaks, you're at work, how do you handle it? All you got to do is get on your phone, text your contractor, and then they're over there, or they're coordinating with the actual tenant, and it's done. And typically, they're good with, like, paying down later in the week or later that day. So you don't have to worry about, oh, I have to leave my job every time something happens. No, it's people, they work with you. Yeah. Trying to think of other, like, examples of challenges, just, like, small things, like, things you wouldn't think of. Like, I would have neighborhood kids smoke weed on the side of my building. From my tenants, and, you know, that's like, okay, how do you handle that type of situation? And what I did, I just put out some signs, like, they're trespassing. It wasn't just one time, it happened a few times, but I think eventually they kind of got, they weren't welcome in the area, in the property. So luckily that died down. But stuff like that, like things you don't know, but you figure it out.
Definitely. And have you had to deal with any evictions before?
Say that again?
Have you had to deal with any evictions?
No, not yet.
Good, yeah.
Not yet. The closest to that was I just didn't renew one of my tenants' leases. Mm-hmm. They didn't pay on time. It was always a hassle getting rent. So mm-hmm. I was just like, simple as, I'm not renewing this lease. So you guys need to get out in 60 days. I think 60 days is kind of the standard amount of time to give someone if they've lived there for over a year. Mm-hmm. They completely understood, actually. It was a pleasant experience, to be honest.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, they knew they weren't keeping up with rent, so I don't think it came to a surprise for them. So luckily I haven't had to deal with any of it yet.
That's good. That's good. And so next up, you decided to go out of state and buy property in Cleveland. Can you talk to us about why you chose Cleveland and kind of how your deals worked from there?
Sure. Well, like I said, like LA prices are crazy. So I started exploring markets like first Baltimore. Like I would have Baltimore. I love the architecture of those houses over there. So I was really seriously looking at that area, but the repairs and rehabs were kind of intimidating for me because I'm still kind of a beginner with rehabs. And then I started looking in the Cleveland and the Detroit market. And the numbers there made sense. And it was basically between Detroit or Cleveland. And I picked Cleveland because honestly, I knew someone that had a property out there and they referred to me their realtor and their property manager. And I was able to get those connections a lot faster. So Cleveland just worked out. And I just so happened to have come across like a wholesale deal in East Cleveland, which ended up being a really big project, but I ended up purchasing it for $13,000. It was a single family home in East Cleveland, had a Section 8 tenant, was renting, netting about $600 a month. And it really, I still think it was a great deal. I mean, after a year, the tenant left, and so now I'm in the process of rehabbing it. But other than that, like, it's been pretty good. And then after that, I purchased actually a few months later, I purchased a fourplex in the Cleveland, North Collinwood area with the agent referral that I got from my friend. So just kind of like, it all came together so well that I was just like, okay, I guess I'll try Cleveland.
Definitely. Yeah. That's cool. And what was the purchase price for the second property?
It was $69,000.
Okay. And did you finance that one?
I did. I got a conventional mortgage for that one. Funny thing is the first one, the 13K one, I got actually used a personal loan to purchase that property. I got a $35,000 personal loan with the thought like, okay, I can get two properties with this loan. The monthly payment is about $600 for 7 years. It was kind of a risk, but it was a risk I was willing to take because I didn't have a lot of debt at the time. So it was like, okay, I was willing to take on those. So I used that $13K from that loan to purchase the single family for $13K. And then that was perfect because it was $600 a month, which is pretty much paying for that personal loan by itself. So after a few months, you know, seasoned that personal loan a bit, I was able to use that to help with the down payment purchase of my fourplex. And I didn't even know that would be possible, that it just worked out. The banks, they didn't have an issue with it.
That's awesome. I love the creative financing.
Yeah. It was a good deal. And that fourplex brings in, when it's fully occupied, brings in, whatever, it's like $800 a month. Each unit, wow. It's super cheap to live there. Each unit rents like $495. So $495 times four, I'm not really good at math, but it was about like $1,600. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow. And then, that's awesome.
And so, yeah. I mean, it's they're all like, they're pieces of their like work had to be put into them, but they were, they're still rentable. But like, I found that with those type of properties, there are constantly things popping up that I kind of have to deal with. But also a really good thing about if you have a good property manager at a state, like if it's, you know, like a seasoned company, you don't have to pay those big expenses up front. They'll typically let you let the next month's rental income cover those big expenses. So it's not as like a urgent panic situation. If it's like, oh, $750 repair on plumbing, and you need to do it this month, you have the funds, let's do it. And then I can either say like, okay, I'll just give you $750, or we could take it out of next month's rent. You guys just cover it for now. And that's something I didn't know was an option until it happened, which I think is, it's super helpful.
Definitely. And as far as like the like repairs and stuff when tenants move out, do the property managers help to coordinate that with contractors and just take care of that?
Oh, that's great. All they do is tell me if the repair is going to cost more than like $300, and then they take care of it. Because I honestly have never been to Cleveland.
Yeah.
So I'm glad. So I wouldn't know where to start, but I'm glad that they are able to handle that.
Definitely. So I really like the fact that you got your house hacking here, but then you also went long distance. And you know, a lot of people are afraid of going long distance, and you haven't even been to Cleveland, but it's working out for you. You're making money. Can you talk about any fears you had going out of state? Did you have any fear? You were like, you know what, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be an unknown. I'm sure there's still stuff that I'm going to find out later, like that I'm going to be like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. But it's always stuff like everything, it has a solution. So I've just learned to just go with it and keep learning and taking these experiences as lessons. For example, like the single family home was the 13K property in East Cleveland. It wasn't all perfect. I found out it needed lead abatement, which can cost up to like $19,000. But I also was able to do some research, and I was able to get some grants and pay very minimal on that repair. So stuff like that. I guess why I was so comfortable like going out and looking in Cleveland is because when you're shopping for houses in LA, you barely have time to see these houses. Well, you have to put an offer because the market's so competitive. So there'd be times where I see a new properties on the market, the numbers make sense. Okay, talk to my agent, let's put an offer. And I mean, if I saw it, like what more can I, like I'm not a contractor, I'm not gonna catch those things like, oh, this is lead paint, we can't use, you know, I'm not gonna catch that. That's what I'm checking for. So you don't necessarily, so I took that mindset to when I was shopping in Cleveland. I guess I was just used to it at that point. And I was just thinking, okay, if I do see a property and it makes sense, get an inspector. And they'll be able to pretty much help you and help you avoid those bad scenarios.
Definitely. And I agree. And can you talk more about the grants for that you were able to get for some of the work that was done? I wasn't aware that you could do that at all, especially out of state. Can you talk more about that?
Totally. So what happened was I got a letter in the mail from Cuyahoga Health Department saying, oh, like I guess the past tenant, there was a kid who ate a chip of lead paint. I know this is like probably one of my worst nightmares. They had a chip of lead paint and got sick. They're fine. But they're saying you need to remove all the lead. And this has happened before I bought the property. So like, make sure you guys check that before you purchase. anyway, so I was totally like, okay. First I panicked, but, and then I went into like, okay, let's figure this out mode. And I asked around like on Instagram and looked on Bigger Pockets and just did some Google research. And I found out there are like grants in Cuyahoga County. And I think it's, one was with the health department. And another was with, the Department of Development, I believe. But if you just Google it, like you'll see it. And also those people, they're willing to help. Like, I'm sure they understand, like, if you spring that on someone, not everyone's going to have all the funds to take care of it. So they have to have some way to kind of make it work. But yeah, so luckily I was able to get that done. But now I'm in the process of getting it rent ready again. Actually was able to get a partnership, or working on getting a partnership. We're still haven't signed the papers yet. To partner with someone to rehab the property, and then we're gonna split it 50-50 and rent it out. But yeah, so sorry you asked about the grants. I went on a tangent. But yeah, it's definitely in any city, if that happens, look for grants. Like, they, because I'm sure it wouldn't be the first one where that this, you know, something springs up on a owner and they don't have the funds, but some, you know, a city should have options for you.
Definitely. Can you talk more about your partnership?
Yeah, it's actually funny because I was thinking first thing about selling the property, because I was like, man, I put all this money in the lead abatement. Now I'm just, I kind of want to get out. So I was like just asking around, like, or telling a wholesaler friend who has a lot of experience in that area. She then actually, she gave me the advice that I was asking, and then she offered to partner with me. I think she just saw the potential in the property as well. And basically, I guess the plan is she will pay for the rehab and we'll split it, like the rental income, 60-40. I would get 60, she would get 40. And then after a year, if I'm willing to, if I'm not, so I'm just like, okay, let's try it out. You know, I'd rather hold on to it and just, keep trying to make some profit off of it instead of just selling it to the next person. So yeah, see how that goes.
Definitely. So it seems like you have a good team on the ground in Cleveland. Can you, I know you had a kind of some referrals, but can you talk more about how you just were able to make contacts with the right people out in Cleveland who've been helping you through the challenges you've had and just kind of helping you grow out there?
Sure. I mean, mostly, it's just been my property managers. It's funny, like when I bought the East Cleveland one, the property manager that I was referred to, I asked him to check it out and see if he wanted to help me with it. He declined because not everyone wants to help in that neighborhood. But then he then said, hey, I'll let you know if I find other properties. I come across a lot of really great rental properties. And he's actually the one that showed me the fourplex, or brought the fourplex to the table. And I purchased it from him. Actually, it was his. Wow. I purchased it from him. And he is the property manager. So, and then I found the other property manager that wanted to work in East Cleveland through a friend on Instagram. So just asking around. And I started following a lot of people like the Key Resource, I'm sure you heard of House Hunter, Nita. So just following all those people and then following those people that I see that are actually in the same field. And just like, it's crazy how like social media can just builds a whole new way of networking. But yeah, a lot of the help I found has been on social media, including Bigger Pockets. Yeah. But yeah, I would say most of the help I do get is just from the property managers. Yeah. So finding a solid property manager, I think, is key if you want to go out of state.
Absolutely. So are you looking to, what are you looking to do from here as far as like growing your portfolio? Are you planning to stay in Cleveland? Are you looking into other markets?
Well, at this point, I'm kind of, I don't want to say taking a break, but I'm working on just streamlining all of my properties, just getting the systems in order so it can become even more passive. And in the meantime, also, I'm just working on some other entrepreneurial projects that are totally unrelated to real estate. But I think I see myself in maybe 2 to 3 years getting back out there, purchasing probably more rentals in Cleveland. Because, I mean, the deals are great out there. And then hopefully I get to a point where I can buy in LA again. But yeah, I've kind of taken a break just to work on some other passion projects.
Definitely. And I lost track. How many doors are you at now?
Oh, just nine.
Nine. Okay.
It's three properties, two fourplexes, and one single family.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. What are some other entrepreneurial ventures you're working on?
Oh, well, working on a hair product.
Okay.
It's very niche. I won't get into it, but it's basically like a brush that only people with certain hair would kind of understand the need for it. Yeah. It'll come out soon. I'll put it on my Instagram, but also a website to help with finding like job shadowing experiences. I found that people would probably like to pay for things like, you know, say I want to open a restaurant, but I've literally never seen the operations inside a restaurant. This would be a site where you find a restaurant owner, experienced owner, buy their time, shadow them for a night, pick their brain. Yeah, so that's kind of a website I'm working on. Hopefully it launches within by 2020. But yeah, it's a big undertaking. So I'm just kind of focused on that right now.
Absolutely. I smell a big conglomerate coming. Yeah. Real estate, hair stuff, and this other awesome venture. That's great.
Yeah.
And what would be a piece of advice you would give to someone who is just starting out and wants to invest in real estate and they're not sure where to begin?
Oh, okay. Not sure where to begin. If it's their first time, I would look into FHA. Take advantage of first-time home buyer programs, as well as NACA, and start with house hacking. I think that's the best way to just help stack your cash up to get to the next property. Just get started. Like I said, I found a lot of things that I've needed in real estate just by getting out there and asking questions. You may ask someone one thing and end up getting an answer that helps you with a whole other problem or a whole other thing you're looking into. So I think it's just important to just get out there and start meeting people and networking and doing some research, looking at properties, getting it going, get the train on the tracks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can you tell us more about your ebook?
Oh yeah. So I made the ebook. It's called Hey New Landlord. It's for, you know, the future landlord, someone that's about to close on a property and get their first multi-family property, and they really just don't know what to expect. I wanted to create something that I wish I had when before I became a landlord. So it was like all the taxes. That's a thing. So I don't know if you heard of them. Have you?
Can you expand some more about it?
Yeah, so once you purchase a property, the city reevaluates the value, and then they send you a supplemental tax on top of the taxes you already pay.
Oh.
Yeah. So I remember I would get these letters in the mail thinking, oh, okay, but the bank's going to cover that. So I would just kind of put it to the side. And then, like, I guess just earlier this year, I actually got another letter. I was like, okay, let me look into this, because I keep getting these letters and it looks like it hasn't been paid. So why hasn't the bank paid this tax? So basically, the bank doesn't cover that. The mortgage payment doesn't cover that tax. So if you get a letter in the mail, supplemental tax, that is your responsibility to pay it. So just look out for that. So that's stuff I didn't know. Some people might say, oh, that's common knowledge, but it wasn't for me. So I put stuff like that in there. And also, like, as simple as, getting the outdoor lights. Like, I had no idea, like, I was supposed to pay, this is going to sound so dumb, but I didn't know I was supposed to pay, like, the outdoor lights. So I had my tenants walking in the dark, not realizing for, like, the first 2 months I lived there. So I had to put that into my name as well as the lights in the unit. So stuff you don't, stuff that I didn't think was common knowledge. It might seem like common sense to some people, but, you know. But what else was, there's a lot of, like, tips. Also, like, how you know, track your expenses, how I do it, what works for me, and how I deal with that during tax season. It's a really easy read. I'm not really into, like, the fluff. I like to get straight to the point. So it's, like, I think it's 10-page e-guide, e-book. And I think it's worth it if you're about to become a landlord for the first time.
Absolutely. Definitely will include that in the show notes. So what I really liked about everything we've spoken about today is that you took action. You didn't have all the answers. You didn't necessarily know everything that was involved, but you took action. You know, you got the property out here in LA, you house hacked, you figured stuff out along the way. And the same thing in Cleveland, you took action and then you just figured it out. And, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in just wanting to have a perfect plan and wanting to know everything, cross every T, dot every I, and it just holds them up from taking action. And, you know, you grow by taking action. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. You'll just figure it out along the way. And I think having that mentality of, we'll just figure it out, there's always a solution, I can tell it's been a big reason why you've been able to grow to this point.
There's always a solution. The thing I love about real estate is not all, only always a solution, that it creates so many options, like exit plans. There's so many different strategies. Like just for this, my first property alone, like I have the option to make a profit. I can raise rents, or I can hold, I can partner with someone, rehab it. There's just created so many different options. And it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Absolutely. It's definitely inspiring. Are there, in addition to your ebook, are there additional resources that have helped you that you recommend? So whether it's websites, podcasts, books?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would listen to the Bigger Pockets podcast. I feel like our community kind of gives it, people don't like the fact that a lot of people on that podcast, they talk badly about properties in the hood. But, you know, I kind of take it with a grain of salt. But they do definitely give a lot of valuable information on the podcast. And then the website, any question that you have about real estate or any situation you've been in, you can just search the forum and someone's probably asked the same question, and someone is with more experience has probably answered it. So, and if they haven't, you easily ask a question on there and people are just excited to help. It's a really great website, really great resource. And that's really it as far as like resources. Well, I have a lot of colleagues at my work that I like to pick their brain because they're older and they own property. So I'll ask their opinions on stuff. So I think it's important, talk to your colleagues, people, your peers that are also in the real estate, your family, pick their brain, have them. People like talking about real estate who are in real estate, so I don't think you'd be bugging them.
Absolutely. There are two things you mentioned that I want to touch on really quick. So it's interesting, just like a lot of people saying, oh, you know, don't invest in the hood, don't do this, don't do that. But I feel like people are saying that so they can turn around and do it and buy it, you know, because someone's going to make money there. Someone's going to buy it and make it better. You know what I mean? Even in Cleveland, like there's a lot of, you know, all over Instagram, you see it. There's people who are going in, people who look like us who are going in, making moves, improving the communities, improving the quality of the housing and things of that nature.
Yeah.
If we didn't, someone else would, you know, someone else would. So I personally, maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist or something, but I think it's by design, you know. Who else is better to invest in the quote unquote hood or in communities where they're mostly minorities than us, you know what I mean?
I totally agree. I agree. And something that really opened my eyes to, like, just be even more open to investing in the hood, I think it was Hood Estate. They were showing a property, and it was in the hood. And this is the first time I, like, really saw people advertising, like, oh, yeah, I bought this in the hood and did this, rehabbed it. I was like, so I asked him, like, on the side, like, a DM question, like, so are people really like buying them? And what he's told me was, like, they found that in any type of environment, there's always someone who needs a steady place to live, a comfortable place to live. So East Cleveland, there was someone willing to live there. Once I get it ready and rent ready again, someone's going to want to live there again. So it's like, I don't know, especially with the price. It's like, why not? And I also think, like, you mentioned the people saying that, like, don't invest in the hood. They're probably the ones trying to invest in it. I think maybe it's half and half. I think we'd have to, like, fix a lot of the mindset of people in our community. But I also do think there are people that are just saying that to make sure that they can get it first. There's, like, a mix there. Yeah, I'm totally pro investing in the hood because someone's going to do it down the road anyway. So it might as well be you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what, where can people find you? Where can people connect with you? If you want to learn more about what you're doing in LA and Cleveland and
yeah. My Instagram, the one I used to like talk about real estate really is Invest and Chill. So just Invest A-N-D Chill. I kind of just use it to mostly the IG stories. I don't post all the time, but I use it to vent. I use it to network. I use it to, you know, people have questions, they can DM me and ask questions. I'm always willing to answer, especially like specific questions. Those are, I'd rather answer those than like the ones that's like, oh, I want to get into real estate. We're having advice. Just, I feel like with anyone, like if you ask a question, try to be specific. Show that you've like gone out and started or tried to do something before you just ask a general question. But anyway, so Invest and Chill, they can find me there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. And where can people purchase your ebook?
Okay. The link is on my Instagram, Invest and Chill. You'll see it like a Linktree link. And it's on Gumroad, but the link will show you where to purchase it. Perfect. I'm trying to get it on Amazon. That's another, it's a work in progress, but you can buy it on Gumroad.
Yeah, I highly recommend everyone who's just starting out, who's going to be a landlord soon, to go out and purchase it. There's no better way to learn than from someone who's done it, someone who has experienced different things and figured out along the way and is passing it down to help educate others. So with that said, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I'm very excited for this to go out and for people to, I think it'll help folks who are in primary markets like LA, New York, DC, and so forth, and also those who want to invest out of state. So this can definitely help a whole lot of people. So I'm very excited to put this out and share with everyone.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. Also, I want to add, I'm going to be on the Real Estate Summit for Creative Financing or Creative Strategy. I don't know if you heard of the first one, but it's with the Key Resource. So that'll be, I think that is, oh, that's from November 4th to 6th. Look out for it. You can find more information on Kendra's IG page. It's called the Key Resource. So I'll just be talking about out of state, how I got those properties out of state, my finance strategies, and things to look out for. I'll go even more in depth on that summit as well. So yeah, I think it's worth it.
Absolutely. Where's the summit going to be? That's incredible.
It's all online, which is awesome. Cool. Like an online presentation with a Q&A, live Q&A after.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely let me know. Let me know when that's going to be. Well, I'll absolutely promote it on the page.
Oh, okay. That's a link. Appreciate it.
That's really cool. Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone. You can find us on Instagram, Black Real Estate Dialogue. Hit me up. Let me know if you have any questions or if you have anyone who you'd like to see on our show. But definitely looking forward to putting this out. So, Gabrielle, thank you. Thank you again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. Look forward to connecting with you all soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.